a museum, and there was a painting hanging on the wall, and the painting depicted a ship, a huge vessel, and it was stuck in the harbor. The tide had gone out and left this huge vessel stuck in the mud in the harbor. And Borum got to looking at that painting, and he noticed the title of the painting was Waiting for the Tide. So as he began to examine this portrait, this painting of this ship, tide gone out, was stuck in the mud. And he got to wondering in his mind, now why would they title this painting Waiting for the Tide? There are no occupants on board. There are no passengers on. Who's waiting? And he got to looking close. And it was one of those old type of vessels where men would go down in the bottom of that vessel and there were oar holes and oars sticking out. And Borum got to looking at that painting and he got to notice that when you look real close through those port holes, you could see passengers on board of that ship. And they had their hands on the oars. And they were just waiting. They weren't rowing because it didn't do any good to row right then. But tide had gone out. And he got to wondering, why would they be so patient as waiting for the tide? The ship stuck and not going anywhere, but they had their hands on the oars. And Borum said this. He said the reason they were waiting for the tide is because of this. It's a law of nature. If the tide goes out, the tide will come in. He said it's not uncommon in coastal areas. You could open up the newspaper, it'll give you the time of the tide. High tide and low tide. I mean, it's a natural law. It's going to happen that when the tide goes out, it's going to come in. And they were waiting, had their hands on the oars, just waiting for the tide. Well, did you know we have a higher law than the natural law, and that's God's law. And how many believes that whatever the Lord says is going to come to pass? Praise God. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. You believe that? So what are we doing in this revival? Well, we got our hands on the oars tonight, and we're just waiting for the tide to come in. You may feel like that your ship's run aground. You're not really making much progress. We're 4 or 5 nights into this meeting, and you haven't really gone anywhere. But just wait. It's going to happen. Just wait. It's going to happen. Do you think that puts a false hope in the church? To say that whatever God says is going to come to pass. Are y'all with me tonight? Praise God. Amen. We got to keep our hands on the oars. Waiting for the tide because it's going to happen. Whatever the Lord said. Amen. Somebody came out with a bumper sticker. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. My pastor always said, if God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Hallelujah. I know faith has got something to do with it. Praise the Lord. But if God said it, aren't you glad for His law? That highest law, His word. Praise the Lord. Well, it seems like we're a little scattered here tonight. I hope we can pull our minds together and have a good altar service here in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. I know we've had busy days and busy weeks and late nights and early mornings don't hardly mix, and it's hard to get everything lined out when you have revival time. But I appreciate everybody coming to the meeting. Appreciate your faithfulness and doing what you can. Sometimes people have to miss, and sometimes you can't help missing. But I tell you, if you have an option, you ought to choose to go to God's house. Sometimes you don't have an option. You don't have a choice. Things happen, those uncanny things that we don't expect, they happen. But if you have an option, you ought to always choose to go to God's house. How many believes that? The Lord will bless you if you'll choose to go to God's house. Praise the Lord. Well, again, we appreciate everybody being here. We're thankful for what the Lord has done. And we just give God all the praise, give Him all the glory, and give Him all the honor. We'd like for you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, if you would. Chapter number 3, book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. I'd like to read down through verse number 10, and I'll try to read it quickly. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'd like to go back here and read verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. This phrase here, the backside of the desert, I want to preach on the front side of the oasis. The backside of the desert, he came to the mountain of God, but I want to preach about the front side of the oasis. Now Moses is probably one of the most studied characters in the Bible, and there is so much that can be learned from his life, starting at his birth and continuing all the way through his death. So much can be learned studying the life of Moses. Somebody put it like this and said, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt learning how to be something. He spent 40 years in the desert learning how to be nothing. And 40 years in the wilderness proving God to be everything. That sums up the life of Moses, doesn't it? And we know that by reading the story, it was definitely God's plan, God's providence, God's will for Moses to be pushed to the backside of the desert. It all started with that miraculous escape from Pharaoh. We all remember little baby Moses in the ark, in the bulrushes. Our children used to stand in the booster band and sing that song, Little Baby Moses Crying, Crying. Did y'all sing that one around here? You go all the way back to that miraculous escape, and we see God's hand. Quickly, there are many other events that took place in the life of Moses, and we find the murder of an Egyptian, all the way to the time when Moses had mercy on those seven daughters of the Midianite priest and drove away the shepherds. And then we have the marriage to Zipporah, and the minding of the flocks here of his father-in-law on the backside of the desert. There were a lot of events that took place in the life of Moses, beginning at his miraculous escape. And so that really sums up what I said a while ago about learning from the life of Moses, beginning at his birth and all the way to his death. But the Bible said that it was while Moses was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert that some very glorious things begin to happen in the life of Moses. What I like about this is I see Moses taking care of some common responsibilities, just being a shepherd, and all of a sudden he had an uncommon experience. All right. Taking care of common responsibilities, He had an uncommon experience. Moses led the flock to the backside of the desert. But it is in this place, the Bible tells us, that God begins a major work in the life of Moses. Now, let's look at this phrase, the backside of the desert here, just for a few minutes before I go on tonight. Really, it's an easy place for me to visualize because I feel like I've been there a lot of times. Anybody that can relate? Anybody that can say amen? The backside of the desert is usually a easy place for us to think about or picture or visualize in our mind because we easily picture the backside of the desert as a lonely place. Anybody ever been lonely? The backside of the desert could represent a place of separation or a place of alienation. You ever felt like, you know, you were just separated or out of touch? I guess an end time phrase that everybody uses now is out of your element. I've heard that term a lot. You ever felt like you've been alienated or out of your element or separated? When we talk about the backside of the desert, it is a lonely place, a place of separation, a place of alienation. It seems to depict tall, barren mountains which shadow long, dark valleys and burning sands, a place that is desolate. Probably the backside of the desert would not be our number one pick for a vacation spot, would it? I mean, if we had a choice, we'd probably say, Lord, anywhere but there. But the backside of the desert, we picture, amen, that place as being a lonely place. And I'm sure that spiritually speaking, none of us look forward to dwelling on the backside of the desert. But you know, when we read this, we do find something positive about this because the Bible said that the mountain of God was there. Hallelujah. Isn't it somehow God works on us sometimes and puts us at the backside of the desert and puts us in those lonely places and causes us to feel alienated and cut off, and then all of a sudden, amen, that's when we have those uncommon experiences in the Lord. Amen. And all of a sudden, God, amen, proves himself to be near and be real. And so when we look and try to find something positive here, I see Moses on the backside of the desert, but the mountain of God was there, Mount Sinai. Or Horeb, that would be an alternate name. The backside of the desert here, amen, is familiar to most of us. At least the loneliness is, and that feeling of separation, that's something that we're familiar with, and the darkness of it, and the barrenness of it, amen, and the alienation part, amen. But also, I think we could also say, brother, you know, loneliness wasn't the only thing I felt, amen, but God was there. Amen, separation wasn't the only thing, amen, that I experienced, but God was there. Amen. You know, there's times in our life, amen, when we must needs go to the backside of the desert. How many knows that there's been times when it just seemed like the Lord, amen, the Spirit led us into the wilderness. Amen. You didn't see it at first. Maybe it wasn't real easy to understand God's direction or God's leading. Amen. But when you got there and found the Lord, amen, was there, and God, amen, had a lesson for us to learn. Amen. We realized it all the time. Amen. It was God, amen, leading us to the backside of the desert. So it's not just loneliness that we could all say, you know, I've been there. It's not just separation where we could all say, you know, I've been there and felt that. But there's some of us that could testify, you know, when I got there, God was there. When I got there, the Holy Ghost was there. Amen. So there is something positive about going to the backside of the desert. And when we read about Moses, amen, we, you know, there's no sense in arguing. We know it was God's will and the providence of God for him to be there. Amen. The backside of the desert has been beneficial to all of us before. Amen. I think back in my life as a young Christian and a young preacher. And I remember one time I went and preached a revival for Brother Hobby and used on almost 2 cases of oil in that old Chevrolet pickup going down, pulling that trailer and going down there to preach a revival at Sand Ridge. Only had been there one time before. And it was that meeting, brother, you preached. And I remember you stepping over the altar and talking about the stumbling of the ox. And we didn't know what we was getting into in that meeting there. Everything everything that was going on. But I remember going there for revival, and my old Chevy went down. I hate to admit that in front of you Ford people, but my old Chevy went down, and I mean, oil was just running through, just pouring out. And I remember I went over to the church one day, and I sat out on the front pew, just went over there to pray and seek the Lord. And I think back on it, and I thought, boy, what a baby, just a big old baby. And I sat out on the front pew, and I said, Lord, I just started crying. I said, I just need you to hold me. Y'all feeling sorry for me? I mean, I was just crying. I didn't know what to do, but I felt like I was on the backside of the desert. Amen. But now when I look back, that was beneficial to me. I learned some things there. Amen. And I feel like that when we look at Moses, amen, he went to Horeb University. Amen. He went to the backside of the desert. Amen. And some of us have been to the school of hard knocks, haven't we? And loneliness and separation. Amen. But don't ever forget, my friend, there's some positive things there. Amen. And when he got there, God was there. That was a mountain of God. And so there's some things sometimes, amen, it's the will of God for us to learn some things while we're on the backside of the desert. Real quick, I want to go through about three things here that the Lord dealt with me about that Moses learned that I feel like we all learned. I might preach a little different to us here tonight, amen, but I want you to notice verse 3. The Bible said, and Moses said, I'm going to now turn aside and see. And the first thing that the Lord dealt with me about is Moses is seeking. I'm going to turn aside now and see. Amen. Moses saw this burning bush, and I don't know whether he was just curious or concerned or confused. Amen. Or all three. But the fact remains, the Bible said, amen, that Moses saw something that he felt was important enough, amen, to turn aside from everything else that was going on in his life and watch, amen, and see. Amen. And so here tonight, we understand that it is inevitable. Amen. We're going to go to the backside of the desert, and the course of life is going to take us to that dark place on the backside. Amen. But don't you see that while we are there, it'd be a good time to seek God. It'd be a good time, amen, to try to learn something. Amen. We can't go around it. We can't get out of it. It's inevitable. Sometime in life, you're going to go to the backside of the desert. But while we are there, amen, let's turn aside, amen, and learn from God. Take advantage of that opportunity and see what God wants to say to our heart. You know, I look back in my own life, and I wondered how much closer to God I could have been if I would have turned aside from things in this world. If I would have just turned aside from the things that were preoccupying my mind. Amen. Moses is seeking here, and he turned aside to see. And could I say tonight, amen, that really, amen, if you want to seek God, but if you want to be effective in seeking God, I mean, we know we ought to seek God. Amen. The Bible said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Amen. The Bible said that, you know, if you seek me, you're going to find me. Amen. If you seek me early. Amen. A lot of scriptures about seeking the Lord. But how many knows that if we're going to be effective in seeking God, amen, you might have to turn aside from some things. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. I really believe when I look back in my own life, amen, and I could really seek God, amen, and find God, amen, I had to turn aside, amen, from the world, turn aside from the flesh, amen, turn aside, amen, from things in the world. I want to tell you, my friend, amen, since you know that you're going to go to the backside of the desert, amen, why don't you go ahead and try to find God while you're there? Amen. Moses turned aside. When's the last time you came to church and you turned aside from everything else that's going on in your life, in your mind, and in your heart? Amen. And sincerely sought God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's hard sometimes to come to church and turn aside from everything that's going on. Come on now. It's hard right now. Amen. It's hard right now for some folks to turn aside from everything that's going on. And I realize that's our humanity. Amen. But when I got saved, I was seeking God. When I got the Holy Ghost, I was seeking God.
Amen. When I got sanctified, I was seeking God. When I began to draw close to Him, I was seeking God. Amen. When I broke out in a shout and a dance and God bless me, I was seeking God. Amen. But the only way you can effectively seek Him, amen, and get anywhere, is you gotta let everything else go. Amen. Turn aside. Amen. What kind of revival, amen, would you have in your heart if you could turn aside from everything right now? Amen. And seek God with a whole heart. And anybody shout amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Since we know we're going to go there, amen, we might as well turn loose and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You might have to turn aside from a relationship, young people. You might have to turn aside from things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I wish I could remember that story, brother. Brother Shad McDonald told a story at Allentown. I'd read it in a book that I'd got off Brother Shannon, and I sat down over in the lunch table and I said, man, you ought to hear this story. And I told him this story Frederick B. Speakman told about, you know, that bird that instead of getting up and getting his worm, he found a trader that was selling worms. And so the trader said, you know, if you'll give me a feather, I'll give you a worm. Did y'all hear that? And every day, every morning, you know, he'd give him a feather and the guy'd give him a worm. Until one day, you know, he had no feathers. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. He traded it all away. Amen. Sometimes I'm afraid, amen, the reason some of us ain't flying, amen, is we traded our wings for things. Come on now. Amen. Maybe you need to turn aside, amen, from some things. Is there anybody in this house that would like to seek God and find Him? Amen. You can't be looking here, looking there, looking here, looking there. You got to turn aside, amen, and go toward God and go to where God is. If you want the Holy Ghost, amen, seek Him. If you want the victory, amen, seek Him. If you want a revival, amen, turn aside and seek the Lord. Praise God. He turned aside to see. Well, I've wondered what would happen if we could have 100 people at one time turn aside from everything going on and seek God. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me here tonight? Oh, Moses is seeking. And the Bible said that he said, now, I will now turn aside and see. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, amen, I don't think the Lord's going to do us like, you know, like we have to do our children sometime. Look at me. Come on now. Grab them by the jaws and say, look at me. I got something to tell you. Come on now. Sometimes my wife will say something and she'll say, did you hear me? You know, did you hear? I just said that. Come on now. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to turn aside. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it hard sometimes to turn aside? Amen. We're so preoccupied and busy with everything that's going on in our lives. Amen. I understand we're busier now than we've ever been. Amen. But do y'all realize we're in revival? Amen. The table is spread. Amen. But some folks ain't turned aside, amen, from the world long enough to see it and realize it. That's one thing we can learn about Moses. He said, God bless you, God, is more important than the sheep, more important than the water, more important than the trough or the grass or the dishes or the lawnmower or anything else. I believe I'll seek God. Can anybody shout amen? But you might have to turn aside to do it. Hallelujah. I felt sorry for my wife when she was taking care of our little ones and they were 16 months apart. And I remember how it was. I'm going to move on. But I remember I'd take Jessica into one room. She'd take Brady in the other room. And I remember I'd be looking at the clock and it'd be flashing, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:45. And I'd be trying to get one of the babies to sleep. She'd be trying to get the other one to sleep just so, you know, we could have a little bit of sleep. Come on now. And I remember I was trying to pray and seek God and try to have a prayer life. And she was, even before Brady was born, she was getting ready to, you know, bring forth Brady into this world. And we had a few false alarms and we'd go to the hospital and come back. And my grandpa was sick and in the hospital at the same time and had late hours at night. Sometimes I'd get down and pray and the sun would be coming up and I'd be on my knees, but I wouldn't be doing much praying. I'd have that big red spot right here. Come on now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. That big wrinkle right here. Oh, come on now. Amen. Time to seek God. Amen. Oh, it's hard. Amen. To turn aside. Amen. But brother, if you could turn aside. Amen. From your trouble. And turn aside from your problem. And turn aside from the world. Hallelujah. I believe you can find the Lord. And anybody shout amen. Moses is seeking God. Now look at this. Verse 5, God says to Moses, draw not nigh hither. Moses is now in submission. He learns reverence. And God says, pull your shoes off. We're on holy ground. Praise God. He learns reverence and he learns submission. And could I say tonight that we need to learn how to approach God? Hallelujah. I said, hey, everybody look at me. We need to learn how to approach God. That wasn't too smart aleck, was it? I just feel like, you know, we ain't got our minds together here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. But we really need to learn how to approach God. Amen. We really need to learn submission and reverence. Amen. To God. Amen. Moses, take your shoes off. Amen. You're on holy ground. Hallelujah. Not only do we need to learn how to be humble. Amen. And submissive and reverent unto God. You know what? One time I got to looking at this and I seen Moses. Y'all know what you do when you take your shoes off? You're getting comfortable. And you ain't in no hurry going nowhere. Well, sometimes we get a little rash and a little hasty with God. Come on now. Amen. But God said, Moses, take your shoes off. Not only as an act of submission, not only as an act of reverence. Amen. But I want you to stay here a while. Amen. And learn of me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight, my friend. We got to learn to approach God. Amen. We need a reverence. Amen. Toward God and his power and his glory. Amen. And his spirit. Amen. We need a submission. Amen. I'm afraid we've got away. Amen. From submitting unto God. Can anybody shout amen? I'd like to approach him with honor. I'd like to approach him with reverence. And Moses learned submission. He ain't a push button God. Wait. I don't sound very sympathetic, but I really am. I've worked and preached revivals. I've worked and went to revivals. Amen. I know what it is, you know, to work a job and drive 2 hours and preach revival and drive 2 hours home. I understand all that. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. But there was a time when we would seek God. Amen. And there was a time when we would be submissive to God. And we would have that reverence. And we would approach him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Draw not nigh hither. Amen. But put your shoes off, Moses. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Now we slide in the pew and plop down and say, whoo! I can rest. And we get the remote and tell God what we'd like to have. Come on now. But he's not a push button God. Amen. If we're going to have revival, we got to approach him. Amen. Reverently. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Moses not only learns how to seek God by turning aside, but he learns what it is to be reverent. Amen. Now look at verse 10. And I got to looking at this. I got to looking at this. Amen. And I've seen where Moses here, God said, draw not nigh. Did you get what the Lord said? Draw not nigh. But now in verse 10 he says, come now therefore. Praise God. I don't know what happened. Amen. Between verse 5 and verse 10.
But I think Moses, amen, was letting God know, I turned aside from everything. Amen, I'm coming to you as humbly and as reverent as I can. In one verse he said, don't come nigh. But now in verse number 10, he says, come now and I will send thee. Amen, Moses is seeking and Moses has got submission. And now Moses learns servitude. Amen, God says, now boy, amen, you're ready for service. And I'm going to send you out. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to choose you. And could I say tonight, and if you'll learn to seek God, and learn to reverence Him, and submit to Him, amen, God will say, come now, I'm going to bless you. Come now, I'm going to use you. Come now, amen, I'm going to bless your life. Moses has learned to seek God, and Moses has learned to be submissive. Now God said, come now, I'm going to send thee. Sometimes we get that all backwards. We want God to send us and use us and shout us. We want to teach. We want to preach. We want to sing. But when I look at this pattern here, I see that number one, you got to be seeking God. And number two, you got to be submissive to God. Amen. And number three, amen, then you can really serve God. Amen. Come now. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all still with me here? Amen. Now I'm going to move on and I'm just about done. Amen. But I noticed here that Moses learned, amen, these three things. He learned how to seek God and he learned how to be submissive to God. And now he is a candidate, amen, to serve God. Amen. Listen, my friend, when you put your life at God's disposal, amen, he'll meet you there. He'll bless your life. Amen. You'll be a chosen vessel. Can anybody shout amen? Amen. And Moses learned all of this. Can anybody tell me where he learned it? He learned it at the backside of the desert. Here's my question tonight. We've already agreed it was the will of God for him to go to that dark place, that lonely place, a place of alienation, that place of separation. We see that Moses did learn some things on the backside of the desert. But my question is this. Amen. Why can't we learn how to seek God on the front side of the oasis? Why can't we learn to be submissive to God on the front side of the oasis? Why is it all of a sudden become the norm that we can't learn to seek Him until God drives us out, amen, into separation? Has it all of a sudden, amen, become the way we are, amen, with our stubborn will, amen, that God has no other choice but to put us on the backside of the desert before we can learn submission, before we can learn servitude? I don't know how y'all feel, amen, but I'm saying, God, I'd like to learn to seek you, amen, in the oasis time. I'd like to learn to serve you on the front side of the oasis. I'd like to learn how to serve you in good times. Hallelujah. Do we have to have a funeral before we can learn how to seek God? Do we have to have a car wreck before we can learn how to submit to God and His will? Can anybody shout amen? I'm telling you that Moses, amen, could have learned everything that he learned on the backside of the desert. He could have learned that on the front side of the oasis. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, how come that in our Christian lives, we can't learn to seek God until we're broke? And we're on the backside of the desert, and we have no money, and we can pray an hour. Are y'all still with me? How come we wait till we're flat of a back with IVs and a doctor looking over us before we learn how to submit to God? Come on now. Hallelujah. You see, what young people don't realize is if they're in a hole in this church, they're living on the front side of the oasis. If they got a mom and dad saved, and they got a preacher that's preaching wholeness, amen, and they got a church that knows what it is, amen, to live separated and worship God, amen, that's an oasis in their life. Amen, listen, young people, amen, don't go to the backside of the desert, amen, to learn how to seek God.
You can learn how to seek God where you are. Can anybody shout amen? Amen. You don't have to be a drug addict to learn how to seek God. You don't have to be an alcoholic to learn how to be submissive to God. Amen. You don't have to, amen, mar and scar your body. Amen. You're on the front side of the oasis. Learn to seek him now. Learn to worship him now. Learn to pray now. Learn to live holy now. Can anybody shout amen? Everything that men have learned in that dark alienated place, they could have learned in an oasis time in their life.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. All of this that Moses learned on the backside of the desert. And sometimes that is God's plan. But why can't we learn on the front side of the oasis? Oh, God. Oh, God. You see, when I look at my own life, everything that I experienced on the backside of the desert, I could have learned on the front side of the oasis. But there's something about our humanity and our stubbornness and our own selfish will. If I would have sought God then, if I would have submitted to God then, come on now, I really don't feel like it ought to be mandatory. Come on now. I really don't feel like it ought to become the norm, amen, by God's standards, to move us to the backside of the desert before we learn how to seek and submit and serve God. Hallelujah. Are you going to always have to be driven to that desert of despair, that desert of discouragement, that desert of depression before you learn how to seek God?
Don't be the kind of Christian that can't serve God without affliction. Well, can we serve God in affliction? Yeah. But why, how come we get to a place where, you know, I remember I was at a revival one time. There was a guy came up and he wanted prayer. And he pulled his billfold out and put his billfold down there and stood on top of his billfold. And he just cried and cried and cried. I used to have a preacher friend. And as long as he had a little money, he's ready to preach revivals and swing from the chandeliers. But if he got a little financially embarrassed, he was down, he was out. He was so low he could sit on the carpet and swing his feet. I mean, everything was turned sour and God was against him. Come on now. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can't we serve God when we got a $20 bill? Just like we do when we ain't got a $20 bill. Come on now. Can't we serve God? Amen. When husband and wife's happy and the children's all around the table. Amen. Do we really have to have a divorce before we can consecrate ourselves to God? Oh, come on. I don't think that's the way God intended for it to be. My God, we're in a revival. Amen. We are in an oasis. There's a well springing up. Amen. There's green grass and there's palm trees. I don't know about you, but I like it. I said I like it. I like being in the oasis. I don't want to have to go to the desert. But I learn how to seek God and learn how to worship God and learn how to praise God. Why do you say we do it now? Why do you say we worship God? Amen. While we feel good. And we got enough money to buy Dr. Pepper. Amen. And there ain't no diagnosis. And the car's still running. And the house payment's caught up. Let's go ahead and seek him. Let's go ahead and serve him. Let's go ahead and submit to God on the front side of the oasis. Young lady, young boy, young man, you don't have to go to the backside of the desert to learn how to seek God. You can learn how to seek him right now. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, I was in revival one time down in Alabama, and a guy rolled up in a wheelchair. He said, I've been in this wheelchair 30 years. He's serving God now. He said, God had to put me in this wheelchair to get my attention. Come on now.
And I talked about that severe mercy of God the other night. And I look at this scripture and I know it was God's providence and God's will for Moses to go to the backside of the desert. But Brother Randy, I've seen some young folks go there. Didn't have to go there. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Don't think you got to go to the backside of the desert before you can have a testimony that outshines everybody else. Young man, don't think you got to go to the backside of the desert before you can learn how to worship God. We had a lady stand up in our church one time several years ago, and really it was, I thought it was kind of out of character for her to say what she said. And then the more I think about it, maybe it wasn't, but she stood up and she was a crying and she said, you know what? She said, I got to reading in the Bible. He that's forgiven little will love little. But he that's forgiven much will love much. And so I just got to thinking, I just need to backslide and go out into the world and do all these sins and sow some wild oats and let God forgive me of a whole bunch of things so I can come back and get saved and love him. He meant a whole bunch. Have you ever heard anything so foolish? Come on now. She had a daughter that stood up in that service and said, Mama, amen, don't ever say that. Amen, I'm glad you brought me to the house of God. I'm glad you raised us up in holiness. Amen, I'm glad we were raised on the front side of the oasis. Hallelujah. Can anybody shout amen? Aren't you glad we're in an oasis? Amen, let's seek him. Let's serve him. Let's submit to him. Let's have a revival. Amen, right now. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Sister Teresa, would you? Oh, hallelujah. Hey, amen. You don't have to go to the backside of the desert to learn how to seek him. You don't have to have the props kicked out from under you before you learn how to submit to God. Praise God. I wasn't perfect. I'm still not now. I wasn't an angel. I'm still not now. I didn't go to my high school dance. Come on now. I graduated. And me and this pretty redhead up here and her mom and dad and my mom and dad went out and ate pizza. I didn't go to the big bash. I never been out of my mind on drugs. Other than what was medically administered. Come on now. Brother Isaac, you still with us? He had a root canal today. Praise God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. I didn't do a lot of things in the world. Amen. I didn't learn to Cotton Eye Joe. Amen. I tried to drink a little whiskey and couldn't do it. About got sick and gagged. I tried to chew a little bit of red man. Got dizzy sitting on a wood fence like I fell off and broke my neck. Amen. I didn't go. Amen. Way out to the backside of the desert. But I had a lot of friends did. But I'm glad I sat right there on the oasis. And I sat under the canopy of God's glory. And I enjoyed the power of God. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God gave me a good wife. And it called me to preach. All I come to tell you is this. Amen. Learn to seek him in the oasis time. Learn to submit in the oasis time. Learn to serve God. Amen. Right now. Hallelujah. Seems like an oasis in here to me tonight. I'm not going to be so stubborn where God has to send me to the backside of the desert. I believe I'll just learn to pray right here, Lord, with a good pastor and a good church. Hallelujah. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? Why can't we learn everything on the front side of the oasis? Oh, God. Young people, you're in an oasis. Brother Randy, I'll never forget the message you preached at Fairland. You might have preached it here. You talked about Adam and Eve in paradise. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, amen. They didn't have to lose. Yeah, they learned some things when they were driven out of the garden, when they were driven out of that paradise and that oasis. Amen. I'm sure they learned some things. But why couldn't they have learned them in the garden walking with God? Oh,
hallelujah. Amen. Listen tonight. I don't know. Amen. Maybe you're on the backside of the desert. I don't know. Amen. Maybe the devil's been tempting you and pulling at you. Amen. Telling you you'll never have a testimony till you go out into the world. I'm going to tell you, you don't need the world. Amen. You don't need the things of the world. If any man love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. But we can walk with God right now. We can have fellowship with God right now. We can learn to seek him and submit to him. Amen. And be available for God's service.
Praise God. Let's stand. God bless you tonight. In Laurel, Indiana, we got a man that sits on the drums. He's got a powerful testimony. He used to be in a biker gang. He all tattooed up. He's saved now. God gloriously saved his soul. His nickname was Crow. They called him Crow in that biker gang. I told him, I said, man, you ought to write your testimony and send it in to the Holiness Messenger. Let other people read where God brought you from. He's got a good testimony. Wonderful. But it's a testimony about the backside of the desert and the darkness and the loneliness and the separation. Come on now. And that's wonderful. I wouldn't take anything from it. But I believe I'd just soon stay right here on the front side of the oasis. Build me an altar. Woo! I said, I believe I'd stay right here on the front side of the oasis. Pull my shoes off right here. Praise God. It's a little easier walking right here on the front side of the oasis. It's a little easier to worship God without all the scars and the bad memories. Oh, God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit tonight. Forgive me for words I should have said and didn't. Lord, I know there's sometimes we have to go to the University of Horeb. God, I know, Lord, that sometimes we go to that dark separation, that alienation, that lonely place called the backside of the desert. I know sometimes, God, it's your will. But, Lord, sometimes I believe it's your will for us to stay right here on the front side of the oasis and learn how to seek you and learn how to submit to you and learn how to serve you. God, I pray tonight you touch the young folks, Lord. I just felt a burden for them today, God, that you deal with their hearts and let them realize, amen, what an oasis this is. Oh, God, what an oasis. Amen, lush and plush. Amen, with the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen, let them learn to seek you now. Let them learn to submit to you now. Amen, help them, God, to make their life available for service now. Touch every one of us, God. Lord, we need your help. We need the Holy Ghost to sweep over this congregation, blessing our altars, God. I don't know who needs this message, Lord. God, but I pray you deal with a heart. I pray you deal with a soul. Maybe there's somebody right now that's a backslider. And they say, preacher, I'm on the backside of the desert. And I've learned some things. But oh, it would have been a whole lot better if I would have never left the front side of the oasis. It'd have been a whole lot better and a whole lot easier if I'd have never left the altar. If I'd have never left the church. If I'd have never got out of the youth group. It'd have been a whole lot easier. But here's a wonderful thing. Come on back to God tonight, backslider. Hallelujah.